ISIS's ability to attack Paris took a lot of people by surprise, and now it looks like it's ramping up on another front. Shira Frankel is BuzzFeed's cybersecurity reporter. She spent 6 months combing the internet for clues about how ISIS operates online, and she just published a story called Everything You Ever Wanted to Know About How ISIS Uses the Internet. So, Shira, start with the kinds of digital tools ISIS is using and why they choose them.
So I have to sort of preface this by saying that 99% of ISIS are probably not using the internet for anything more sophisticated than, you know, occasionally going onto Facebook or Twitter or whatever and saying hi to their mom. The sophisticated part of ISIS, the 1% that probably knows what they're doing, that is training on these things, they're basically using everything. They're using Tor, they're using VPNs, they're using encrypted emails, they're using dating sites. So they're really flexible. But at the same time, because they're so flexible, because they're on so many platforms, they're not necessarily savvy, according to cybersecurity experts, about how these platforms work and what the details are.
So dating sites? What kind of traction are they getting on dating sites?
So we found a young woman in Jordan who had been lured to join ISIS through a dating site. And we spoke with Jordanian officials, and actually they were really concerned about ISIS recruiting off of Islamic dating sites that are really popular in the Middle East.
Are there any ISIS attacks or plots we know of that have been aided or accelerated because of their skills online?
We don't have any evidence at this point. There have been rumors, there have been leaked intelligence reports saying that ISIS did use the dark web, so-called, what they really mean is just PGP encrypted emails, to plan the attacks in Paris and Brussels. But the more we've looked at it, the more it seems like if they did use those tools, they probably didn't use them correctly. And more likely than not, they were using very old school methods of that have been used by terrorist organizations for years. Stay in the same apartment, communicate person to person, use a bunch of burner phones that you can easily throw away afterwards. And what worked 20, 30 years ago still works today.
There's this debate within ISIS that you were kind of reporting on about how to keep communication secret. And you managed, for example, to follow a series of messages between two guys in ISIS, and one asked the other, brother, are you, use VPN for site. No, brother, that is expletive. Use Tor. And the other response, Tor is a creation of CIA, avoid Tor. So, I mean, how'd you manage to listen in on that conversation?
Yeah, I spent a lot of time on these channels that they use, whether on an app like Telegram or on different apps that they've been active on. And I find it interesting that a lot of these channels are just a bunch of dudes kind of mansplaining the internet to each other. It could be Reddit for all anybody knew. I mean, occasionally there's the, you know, gruesome videos and the photos being shared, and obviously they're all there with a quite similar ideology. But mostly it's a bunch of guys kind of LOLing at each other. They use a lot of emojis. It's what you'd expect in any sort of internet chat room, only this is ISIS.
Given how fast things are changing on the net worldwide, is ISIS keeping up with the pace of change in its bunkers in Raqqa?
They are. I mean, what ISIS has proven itself to be very good at is flexibility. As soon as one thing is shut down, they move on to another. The moment that Twitter got serious about shutting down their accounts, they were on Telegram. Part of what ISIS sees itself doing is using the internet to recruit across the world. And we're seeing that in Bangladesh. We're seeing that in Myanmar, in the Philippines, of course, in the United States and in Europe. And the internet has allowed them to do this in a sort of unprecedented way.
How exactly are the U.S. and its partners trying to fight back?
So a lot of the U.S. intelligence officials I spoke to talked about how them going online was actually a gift for intelligence. So it's what they want. The more that they're online, the more of a digital footprint they leave, and the more that intelligence agencies in Europe and the United States can trace them and follow them. I mean, they do what I do, right? They find these channels and they lurk there.
Terrorism has created, you know, some tension between privacy and security. For example, ISIS uses some of the same tools as activists like Edward Snowden. Could the offensive against ISIS affect other groups that use secret encrypted communication?
So there's a lot of concern among privacy activists that with ISIS using these tools more and more, it's going to foster a backlash against them. One of the things I noticed in a Telegram, ISIS Telegram channel I was following, was how often they did link to activist sites. There are so many privacy groups in the United States that are thinking about safe ways to communicate online. And they're doing it because they want to be able to communicate to civil liberties groups. They want to be able to communicate to human rights organizations in the developing world. ISIS is watching those groups and saying, huh, they're really smart about how they communicate online and how they keep people safe. We can literally take their manuals, their advice, translate that into a a multitude of languages, distribute it on our sites, and follow that advice. You know, these tools can definitely be used for evil. We've seen criminals be interested in them, but they're also used for a lot of good.
Shira Frankel reports on cybersecurity over at BuzzFeed. Shira, thank you for your time.
Thank you.